This year marks the end of the first century of flight. For most of us these days, flying's become a mundane activity. We get on a plane, buckle our seatbelts, and try to speed the passage of time by sleeping, reading, or working, oblivious to the fact we're soaring above the earth like birds. But author and pilot William Longavisha writes passionately about the act of flying in his book called Inside the Sky. It's a collection of essays that strives to prove, and here I quote, "Flight's greatest gift is to let us look around." William, would you elaborate on that a bit?
This is a revolutionary view. It's only about 100 years old in the experience of humans. You see a lot of evidence of who we are. You see the backyard with the same clarity that you see the front yard, and you learn to see yourself even on the ground as if you were in the air looking down on yourself.
There's a passage in Inside the Sky where you describe the views you see from the air. Would you mind reading that for us?
The best views are views of familiar things like cities and farms and bottlenecked freeways. So set aside the beauty of sunsets, the majesty of mountains, the imprint of winds on golden prairies. Tourists may not like to contemplate the evidence with its hint of greed and self-destruction. But the fact remains that the old, sterilized landscapes, like designated outlooks and pretty parks and sculpted gardens, have become obsolete, and that it is largely the airplane that has made them so. The aerial view is something entirely new, and by raising us above the constraints of the tree line and the highway, it imposes a brutal honesty on our perceptions. It lets us see ourselves in context. It lets us see that our struggles form patterns on the land, that these patterns repeat to an extent which before we had not known, and that there is a sense to them.
How does a pilot see things differently from the passengers?
You understand the machine, and it responds to you so that you are manipulating this incredible machine through the air, and can draw, therefore, a lot more interest and satisfaction out of it than we could possibly expect the passenger to draw.
You know, one thing you can feel is the drop of 1,000 feet when there's turbulence. Since you have such a poetic outlook about flying, how would you convince someone that turbulence is nothing to be worried about?
Well, the first thing I would say is that you might have felt a loss of 20 feet. You probably felt a loss of no feet, but you simply felt a shear layer or a change in the acceleration in technical terms. And the problem is, of course, that it's unexpected, it's violent, it may be violent, it's unusual, and so it frightens people. It frightens people the way, let's say, a pothole would frighten you if you weren't expecting it and you were driving down the road on a black night.
You spent some time at New York Approach, the control center for all the airports in the New York City area. Could you tell me what that experience was like and reassure us that there's some order to the chaos we've come to equate with air traffic control these days?
I actually take a certain amount of pleasure, not pleasure, I'm encouraged by the chaos that I found there, because it is the chaos which allows the system to operate. In the old days of air traffic control, when the controllers wanted to strike, in a sense, rather than striking, they simply did everything by the rules, and it amounted to a strike. It was a paralysis of the system, a rule book slowdown. The system is quite chaotic.
Yeah, but you're saying that in this chaos, there's intelligence.
There's a lot of intelligence in it, and there's another thing, which is that airplanes belong in the air. Flight is a much less precarious act than people believe. Flying is not an acrobatic thing, a balancing act. It does not usually demand lightning reflexes and nerves of steel, etc. Those are myths. They are not true. What flying is the operation of a machine through the atmosphere, and this machine is not really a machine so much as simply a force of nature. And airplanes are very happy in the air. It takes a whole lot to take an airplane out of the sky.
We're talking with William Longavisha, whose new book, in fact, is called Inside the Sky, A Meditation on Flight. I was surprised that you concluded your book with a chapter on the ValueJet accident. Why did you do that, and what lessons should we draw from that accident?
If you really look at this particular accident, not all accidents, but this particular accident, what you find is that the easy blame disappears. What you find is that the accident, in this case, reflects the way we have organized the airline industry and the way we have organized flight, and that in turn reflects almost in great detail, that in turn reflects the way we have organized ourselves on the ground.
Most of us, when we hear news of a plane crash like the recent Swiss Air tragedy, think, that could have been me. What do you think about the moment you hear about it?
The first, the obvious thing any pilot thinks is, what did the pilots do wrong? Because there is a strong culture within aviation of assigning blame to ourselves. Only reluctantly do we leave the idea that it's the pilot's error, and do we come to the possibility of other sorts of failures. But I'll tell you what, it seems to me that we can all accept that airplanes are safe, that the time has come to move beyond the conversation in which we have the standard reassurance, yes, yes, it is very safe. We can get beyond that level of conversation, which is very primitive and treats the American public as if they were a bunch of children, and begin to look at how we deal with death in general, which is really what it comes down to what extent we expect and demand to be delivered from violent death in our lives, to what extent, when we do die, it's going to be the wrong time anyway. So, you know, it's hard to say this without sounding wild or severe, but I think there is such a thing as acceptance of death in airplanes too, and that we as Americans or as the flying public can begin to say that.
Do you ever get scared when you're flying?
Of course. I guess one of the things that attracts me about flying, and attracts many pilots to flying, is that we find ourselves put up against the wall, in a sense, in a way that has become increasingly rare in modern life, where it's put up or shut up, and you are afraid, and you must deal with that fear and make the right decisions, and you do. It also brings to the pilot a discipline and a challenge, a deep challenge, which is psychological and tactile, and to some extent logical, and that is at the same time finite and therefore can be contained and understood, as opposed to, let's say, the more fundamental challenges of life.